Shall we get into it?
Show me. You're the boss.
Well, we've gone big today for the episode today. And this is definitely, I say this every week, but and it's probably our biggest guest we've had so far. All the way from Queensland, we've got Pierce. I'll let Pierce sort of introduce himself a little bit, but he's the owner of Queensland's Kettlebells, a great gym. I've been over there myself. Great community, great place to train. And he's a strong first team leader. So I'm very excited to hear a little bit about Pierce's story and I guess a little bit about his own journey. But maybe we'll start there, Pierce. I guess how'd you end up on this journey into strength and movement training?
Yeah, so look, for me, it all kicked off in 2009, I think. So I'd been at the gym, been working with an exercise physiologist, and pretty well all that I'd been doing at the gym was I'd been doing squats, deadlifts, and bench. And so I thought, I'm paying a gym membership to go in and use the power rack. So I put aside a couple of years of membership and I bought my home setup. And my home setup came in with a little bit of room to spare in the budget. And I got this crazy email talking about kettlebells. You know, it was promising a back of iron, an Android-like work capacity, and all sorts of other hyperbole. And so I thought, look, if these are anywhere near as good as what they seem like they're going to be, then I'll be pretty into it. And I bought them and they were okay. I wasn't blown away. But at the time, it cost me $350 for two 16-kilo kettlebells. Yeah. Puckeringly expensive. And so I decided when we had a guy come up from Melbourne to run a workshop that I would go and attend this four-hour seminar. And once I learned to use the bells effectively, it made a huge difference. So at that point, I got super excited. And every time Sean Cairns would come to the country, I would fly to wherever he was running the one-day user course, which is similar to the course I'll be running in your facility in a couple of weeks' time. And I did that course and just, it was amazing. So my posture improved, my hamstrings stopped snapping. So I'd created my own issue because I'd been playing touch football and I'd had an impact tear on my quadricep. So it smashed into the ground and basically swole up to twice the size of my thigh. And I have generous thighs. So it was a big swell. And I just didn't rehab it properly. My hamstrings then started to give me grief and all around it was pretty poor. And using the bells, I started to find that those injuries just disappeared. And so with that happening, I became pretty excited about it and, you know, traveled to see Sean. Eventually I traveled over to the US and did the RKC and then I did CKFMS. And then when Strong First became Strong First, and obviously I jumped across and was a part of that as soon as it started. And I guess I just hung around and kept on being that annoying guy who kept on wanting to learn and found myself here 14 years later, running a gym and traveling around a little bit to teach people stuff.
Pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy how influential, I guess, you were interested and had that curious mind. And so you were doing a bit of, you had some coaching from an exercise physiologist and then you were sort of realizing, sort of created your own little home gym. And doing some pretty traditional type of training with the squat, bench and deadlift. But it's amazing. I probably had a similar experience with that workshop as well. Like for me, I had, 4 years of uni and I reckon I learned more from that little workshop. It really lit the flame as well and just showed me what movement training and is all about. And I guess what kind of led you down? So this was sort of out of your own curiosity. You traveled to the US, is that really for learning to improve yourself and your own training at that point?
Yeah, look, I had all I wanted. So I trained initially. My goal was to train enough clients that I could pay for additional education. That was it. I loved the job that I was doing prior and I didn't want to leave it. So I was a school teacher and a school chaplain, which is like a social worker in a school. prior to doing this. And I had no interest in quitting. But then as I started to train people and realized I'd developed a fairly unusual skill set in Australia, it just kind of snowballed to the point that I had to pick a horse.
Yeah, and it's funny because I didn't know you were a teacher or had a background as a teacher, but it kind of makes complete sense in that teaching and coaching is such a over. And I think teachers pretend like make great coaches. And so you would have had that base that a lot of people don't have, I guess.
Yeah, look, there's something to be said about having 6 hours a day to make your mistakes quickly. And yeah, it certainly helps. I mean, obviously you've got your degree and you get taught strategies to teach. But at the end of the day, if you're in a school for 30 hours a week with very high feedback, if you do your job poorly, you learn pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. No better way than doing. There's so many different paths we could go down, but so you kind of had that kind of choice you made between teaching and diving more into, I guess, what was sort of, I guess, real interest and passion at the time. I guess it's a big jump though. What led you down to like opening up Queensland Kettlebells? What did that path kind of look like for you? Myself, really.
I had a buddy at the time who was looking to start his own, start doing the training stuff. And so I developed the structure of how we were going to do things. And I was traveling over to Milton, which is, at the time, it was about 45 minutes from my home. And so I'd travel there between 2 and 5 times a week and just was helping him to set up his business. And then somewhere along the way, he had some personal stuff come up and made some unfortunate choices. And so I found myself in a situation where I inherited all the clients that we'd been building for him. And that kind of dumped me into a fairly committed position. And yeah, from there, I guess I had to choose whether I had a hobby or whether I was going to do it as well as I could. And yeah, it dropped about 30 grand on business coaching across a period of time to make that all viable. And I guess jumped in with both feet.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm sure there's been some challenges along the way, but I guess what year is it now? 2023. So it's been a good while.
So we seem viable.
Awesome. What I kind of want to get into as well a little bit is, I guess, that workshop seemed pretty influential on the direction of your training at the time. What sort of drew you to, I guess, the Strong First, what's the right word, philosophy or approach? What were some of the aspects that really resonated with you at the time?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably consistent through all of the different systems that I've chosen to align myself with. So there's three major systems that I go out of my way to teach. One is Original Strengths. Another one is GMB. And then there's Strong First. And Strong First has the tagline that strength has a greater purpose. GMB is all about physical autonomy. And an Original Strength is you are made to move. And at the end of the day, all of those things are about empowering people to use the bodies that they've got to do whatever it is they want. Training isn't the end goal for any of those groups. It is a tool that allows people to flourish in the environment they're in. I liked the principles that Strong First had, because Strong First is very strong on strong. Strong First is very good at helping people to lift really safely in a clever way that means that in the long term, they are going to be stronger, they're going to move better, and they should feel better. Louis Simmons, who ran Westside Barbell Club, which is one of the top barbell places in the world, which I'm sure you're aware, but I'm just clarifying for other people.
Oh, yeah.
He is quoted as having said that Pavel reverse engineers the things that the elite athletes do automatically or that they do naturally. And so the capacity for Joe Average to come off the street, which is, it was who I was, and then to be able to lift good weights that will have a meaningful impact on their quality of life safely is huge.
Absolutely. And you sort of summarized that saying, strength has a greater purpose. And I think that's something Queensland Kettlebells tries to, I guess, just being in that environment over there, that's what the clients really buy into, I think, after they've been there for a while. It's sort of, it's not so much about the X's and O's at the end of the day, but it's just trying to be an active, healthy person who can do, you know, what's required when it's required. And that's sort of that greater purpose of strength. And I think that Queensland Kettlebells gets that message across really well. And GMB actually influenced me as well. I almost forgot about them, but that's also a powerful, I guess, those three methods together, well, more so their principles, is definitely a great process. Can you tell me a little bit more about Original Strength?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start off by telling a little bit about how I ran into Original Strength.
Yeah.
So it was in 2011, there was a book called Becoming Bulletproof. It might have been 2012, but it's somewhere around that time, that book came out. And Becoming Bulletproof was the same movements that are in Original Strength, but it wasn't as well systematized. And so I started doing the crawling, and I found that there were just massive gaps in how I was doing things. I wasn't, even though I was strong, I wasn't translating that into nonlinear movements. And so I played around with it, and it was cool, but I couldn't figure out how to put it all together in a meaningful way into my practice. And then in 2012, I traveled over to the US and met Tim, because I'd had the gentleman from Melbourne. It hadn't been the greatest experience. And so I decided to make sure that Tim was exactly who he was in the videos. And he was. He is exactly that same character that comes through if you ever watch the YouTube videos. So a little bit dorky, lots of dad jokes, and a lot of good information. But I did that, and then I brought them over back to Brisbane in 2014. So it was Jeff and Tim that came through, and they ran a 1.5 day workshop. And that 1.5 day workshop, which has become the Press and Reset certification now and only goes for a day, but that 1.5 day workshop, we had 40 something people there, and we had all sorts of walks of lives. We had everyone from, you know, punters who had come in just because they were interested in the system, through to personal trainers and physios, chiros, doctors in that group. And the thing for me was, about 6 hours into that first day, I had two or three different people come up to me and go, there are movements that I haven't been able to do. One girl had been suffering from shoulder discomfort for 2 or 3 years. And she found that just doing the resets allowed her body to put it in a position where it didn't hurt. Had another guy who was a PT who had been a powerlifter and a competitive cyclist who hadn't been able to squat without discomfort for a decade, where that disappeared. And so I had this moment where I realized that I'd spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to figure out how to effectively, you know, help people to move from a low base. And this workshop had allowed me to, or looked like it provided the tools for people to start doing that in a day. And so, you know, there were three or four other certifications that I had that were rendered redundant by what was at the time a $600 course. And so it was really incredible to see that. And then since then, I've gotten really excited and traveled around teaching that one as well. But Original Strength basically focuses on five different categories of movement. There's breathing, head control, rolling, rocking, and contralateral patterning. And the things that everyone does when they're babies, or almost everyone does when they're babies, if things are ideal. And they stimulate a whole bunch of reflexes. And when those reflexes are healthy, then everything else builds positively from there. And so, you know, it's not a case, and explicitly at the start of the workshop, we always say, we're not there to treat or diagnose anything. We're not doctors, we're not physios. All we're doing is we're taking the brakes off and letting the body do the things that it does naturally. And so, yeah, it's such a simple system, and it makes a huge difference to the quality of life. It's really one of the hardest things about it is that it's literally as simple as it seems. It seems like a scam. It seems like we should need to overcomplicate it more. but it is so straightforward and so accessible. You can go out of that workshop and teach your mum, and it's safe and effective whether you pass your coach's exam or not. We breathe thousands of times a day, ideally. If you breathe less than that, then something bad's happening. But, it's such a fundamental thing. So if I breathe diaphragmatically, so the diaphragm is this big dome-shaped muscle that sits and basically drives our breathing if we're doing it effectively. When I use my diaphragm well, it fires my midsection the way it's supposed to be fired. So that includes your pelvic floor and all the muscles around your girdle. So front, back, all of that. It all starts to work together. And all of a sudden, your trunk is safer and transmits force more effectively. We'll often, early on in the workshop, we'll ask people to test a movement, any movement. And then we'll usually get them to test a squat and a toe touch if they can't think of something else that they want to try. We'll do a very, very easy breathing regression that makes it easy for people to find their diaphragm. And it's very, very common for 80% of the room to find that both their toe touch and their squat will have a meaningful change, like as in inches of additional depth from this very first time they use their diaphragm effectively. Using your diaphragm effectively allows you to use your parasympathetic nervous system in more in the fashion that it's meant to be used, or to activate it is probably a better way of describing it. And that your parasympathetic nervous system is your rest and digest. It's helps us to sleep better, to recover better, to digest our food better. Like everything is it that we do where it's not sort of a high stress situation is usually better driven by the parasympathetic. The way we breathe culturally is a lot of the time people are breathing up into their chest. And so when we use these accessory muscles up here, it's a bit fight and flight. So I think most of us have heard at some point that if you want to feel better, you should smile more. And what we do physically has an emotional impact, and then how we feel emotionally has a physical impact. And so if you're constantly breathing like a stressed person, then all the hormones and things like that are associated with stress will typically, you'll end up in a vicious cycle. When you breathe diaphragmatically, all the hormones that are associated with calmness and recovery will then, trigger into a virtuous cycle. And so it's something that will make your performance better, your recovery better, and your general well-being will skyrocket if you can shift from being a chest breather to a diaphragmatic or belly breather.
Yeah, and I think it's just something people probably don't even think about. It's just such a big player. Like that example you used is exactly the experience I had in potentially, it might have been one of that one day Strong First workshop. Even I think breathing was a little bit of a taster there as well. And I, years of playing football, what was I? I don't know, 22, 23 at the time, couldn't really touch my toes.
Yeah, right.
Very, what I thought was tight. And then literally just doing a couple minutes of some deep breathing, and my body relax and I could touch my toes. And that's, years of trying to, doing the old hamstring stretches.
Yeah.
Never really seeing improvement. Yeah. I'm having flashbacks of that exact experience I had of, and that sort of opened my mind to, okay, this is, well, on a simple sense, it's probably the number one mobility drill in that it just relaxes everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that there's a lot there that I wasn't thinking about at the time. So much more than just muscles.
Yeah. Our brain drives everything.
That's it. That's it. That sort of shift in thinking from muscles to sort of the nervous system and the brain and its influence. And so I guess I won't hold you up too long, but we'll definitely have to, sneak you back on, or I could, we could dive deep in so many of these different topics. But for someone, I guess, looking to learn more about some of these principles and how they can start, I guess, practicing them, I guess, where would you recommend someone to start?
Sure. I mean, there's there's probably three different paths that you can go down. In terms of original strength, you've got the YouTube channel. Tim puts up a new video every week. So you could literally go on and search almost anything. And, you know, he's got literally 500 videos up on his YouTube channel. So you could hunt for anything that's bothering you right now and give it a red hot go. The only thing is, if you feel pain, pick a different activity. Like, pain is telling us something, and you probably need to go and see someone with lots of letters after their name. The next one would be to buy the Original Strength book. It's $10 on Kindle. It's a very worthwhile investment. And then the third one would be to get to a pressing reset workshop. And that's 8 hours where you will, a lot of those things that you see out there will sort of nest in. If you're working with clients, that workshop for 8 hours, the impact that it will have on how you practice your coaching will be profound. So, and it's probably sounds a little self-serving because I often run the workshops locally, but the reason I run them is because I am just so wildly excited about what the system does. And, you know, I've run them at a loss in the past because they are just so valuable for people to have. So it's, you know, start at the YouTube because it's free. It's so accessible. And then you'll, if you go down the rabbit hole, I'd be shocked if you weren't thrilled that you did so.
Fantastic. I'll share some direct links so you've got no excuses. Check it out. Start going down the rabbit hole. And just to give it a good plug, you've got some events coming up. Yeah. Anything you want to plug? I know Pierce, so I know his passion and his knowledge. Hopefully it's coming across. Definitely would recommend learning from the guy. Yeah. What's coming up for Pierce?
Yeah, well, we've got workshops at Adaptive Strength. So we've got the Kettlebell 101 and Kettlebell 201 at Adaptive Strength. And Kettlebell 101 is Simple and Sinister. That is how to do the swing, the get up, and the goblet squat, and how to use that to create strength that will undergird everything else that you do. Kettlebell 201 is the rite of passage. It's clean, press, and snatch. Those two workshops will give you all the tools that I used for the first however many years to go from someone who looked like they had a passion for video games, which I certainly did, to someone who is able to pick up skills and move pretty well and is relatively strong. Without, you know, I often tell people that the way that I feel and move is a triumph of training consistently enough. So I'm not someone who gets wildly excited about training all the time. So I probably hit 80% of my workouts that I plan. I'm not anywhere near perfect, but I am well stronger than the average person because I've been doing enough for a long time. And the tools that you get at those workshops will be the tools that allow you to make regular enough pretty powerful. Alongside that, in terms of the Strong First line, we've got the Strong First Level 1 certification coming up, and it's a fantastic 3 days. That's in Brisbane, the next one, and well worth a look if you're going down that path. And then in Perth, again, we've got the Original Strength workshop, which is the pressing reset that I've spoken about already. There's other stuff going on. It's a super busy year, but those are good starting points.
Absolutely. I couldn't recommend them more. Like I said earlier, I'd sort of went through the 4 years of uni, which was good, but even if you're not a coach and you're just, you know, you're starting to go down like a fitness enthusiast rabbit hole, you know, I learned more from these workshops in terms of practical application than anything at uni. So definitely couldn't recommend learning from Pierce and checking out these workshops. And so, yeah, so many different rabbit holes we could go down with you, Pierce. It was nice to get a little bit of your own journey. Like you said, there's so much he does. So we'll have to get you on and maybe just pick one and dive a bit deeper. Thanks for coming on. Awesome.
Don't forget to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. We would love you to leave a review, which will help us share our enjoyment of movement with more people. Learn more about Adaptive Strength by searching for Adaptive Strength from social media, or by visiting our website at www.adaptivestrength.com.au. This podcast is recorded on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja, and we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the unceded lands on which we live, learn and work, and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging.